AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
And with me.
Coward.
One condition. You dance with us.
Everything. You see your father. Then you see me. Fear is what you need.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio. A full four-hour show today, so 1 hour to go. A big thank you to Don McClain, to James Worthy, and to all of you folks for helping us with the Dream Center LA. James Worthy gave $1,000 and said, if you have the means, please match. He was so moved by hearing about the homeless vets and how Dream Center LA is trying to put a Thanksgiving meal in front of each and every one of them, nearly 4,000 in just the centralized greater downtown LA area. We need help. Dreamcenter.org/donate now to help us get them fed this holiday season, put gifts under their trees, get them trees as well, and help Dream Center keep their doors open to house those homeless veterans. Again, it is dreamcenter.org/donate now, part of the Justin Turner Foundation and Dream Center LA. Details also available at am570lasports.com.
And you can podcast everything that's happened. Don McClain, James Worthy, Matt's turkey recipe. It's all there on the iHeartRadio app. If you miss us over the long weekend and you don't want to hear all the games that we are running on the station, you can go to the iHeartRadio app and just deal with that while we are off until Monday. But right now, and we'll have a college football whip around in the very next segment. But right now, it's time for the final hour fun facts.
Fun in effect, it's the hour three.
Fun facts.
You know what? Because we aren't going to have a three things Thursday, we kind of did a pseudo one a little bit earlier in the world of the NFL. Kind of a three things just quickly. Fun fact, all Thanksgiving related. Did you know that Sarah Hale, the woman who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, convinced Abraham Lincoln to make Thanksgiving a national holiday? She wrote letters to each and every president for 17 straight years. And finally, Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday October 3rd, 1863. And just 13 years later, P, the tradition of football on Thanksgiving was born with a game between Yale and Princeton. The NFL would make Thanksgiving theirs come 1920. So, again, college, a little bit ahead of the curve like they typically are when it comes to football rules, style of play in the amateur ranks versus the professionals.
Time for quick hits.
The PMS quick hits. I'll make it quick, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of college football, UCLA hosts Cal. We will tell you all about it in the college football whip around Saturday night at the Rose Bowl. Bruins are a 7.5-point favorite at home. 7:30 kickoff on AM 570 and USC and BYU in the Not Much Bowl late at night.
Not much.
7:30 kick. The Cougars are a 6.5-point favorite at the Coliseum. No.
I think that's been bumped up to 7.
Well, there you go. And with the college hoops, Matt, UCLA is 5-1, staying in Vegas for a few days. They will take on UNLV on Saturday at 2. Was the Vic the Brick segment on the full court press? It looked great.
It was fantastic. It took a few minutes to get going. I explained it a little earlier, the technical difficulties that Vic has. Stoney came to the rescue and helped us out. So did Dave Cardona. Thank you to both. Silk make a quick appearance on the full court press just to make sure it wasn't on my end, the technical difficulties. So we had a great show. Vic popped on for like 10 minutes. It was from the neck up. That's all it was. Neck up for Vic.
Yeah, it was a very tight shot.
Like the Richard Nixon head in Futurama? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, just picture Ted Williams' head somewhere in a cryo chamber.
That's
in
where
Arizona. That's what it was.
With the weird boating hat?
He didn't have a hat on.
He had his glasses. Yeah. He was a little disheveled, which is understandable. It was a little bit late.
That beard, though, looked pretty good.
The beard looks good. It almost reminded me, and I don't know how many people will be able to kind of get this, but in the world of skateboarding, the Rob Roskopf face on the Santa Cruz skate, where you just kind of like, you just get from the edge of one eye to the other, and maybe not even the entire mouth. Like, the edges of the mouth are cut off. The face is so close to the camera is kind of the vibe I got from Vic in the FCP last night. But you know what? You said it, Casey. It was great to see him. And the fact that Cardona and a freaking little bit of magic, they sprinkled a little bit of magic dust on there from Stoney to make that happen. Everybody was damn excited about it.
There's NFL news, Matt. The NFL and St. Louis have agreed to a $790 million settlement over the lawsuit filed by the city in 2017. All that just to get NFL football back in L.A. So that happened. And then tomorrow we have the triple header for you. We told you all about that. And then, of course, the Steve Hartman segment, some Pro Football Hall of Fame news.
Well, there are a ton of modern era semifinalists for the class of 2022. Speaking of the Rams, Torrey Holt is one of them. Anquan Boldin, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, the Panthers Steve Smith, not USC Steve Smith. Devin Hester is an interesting one. Arguably the greatest punt returner, kick returner in the history of the league, but never did much outside of being a specialist. Defensive stars, DeMarcus Ware, Robert Mathis, Vince Wilfork, and his overalls. And then you got guys like Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Rondé Barber.
Rondé Barber,
your friend, always love when he comes on the show, Tony Boselli, who had a very short because of injury, but very dominant career as the left
T-Boss
tackle.
Makes it in because when he played, he was the best. And then old toothless Leroy Butler, Eddie George, a friend of the show, and now a head coach at an HBC, Torrey Holt, who comes from my era from North Carolina State. Oh, Matt, the field mouse is in there. Sam Mills,
yeah. You got that. You got Richard Seymour, who is is regularly cited as the most dominant force of those New England Patriot defenses that won three Super Bowls.
Steve Tasker, special teams animal. Freddie Taylor, that's a good one.
Wildly underrated in
long
Jacksonville.
Long career. Zach Thomas, the fire hydrant of Texas Tech.
The running rectangle, all 5'6" of them.
Fat face Hines Ward.
Oh, come on. You know what? This wide receiver's full service. He'll block your ass.
Cocaine Ricky Waters. Telesco picked Reggie Wayne.
Well, Reggie should. I mean, come on. Reggie's got some of the great numbers. But a lot of people say it's Peyton Manning. Is it Reggie? Is it Peyton? Did Reggie help make Peyton Payne, or did Peyton really make Reggie? Who knows?
Patrick Willis.
Super swole.
From Ole Miss, right? That's an Ed Ogeron guy.
And retired early. Very similar to Tony Boselli. I think only 8 years for Patrick Willis.
Yeah, Ed dug him out. And then Darren Woodson from the Cowboys.
Ah.
And Bryant Young.
I remember him. Also 49ers, Patrick Willis.
There's your NFL names from the past segment. And then we have Jonathan Taylor leading all players in fan voting for the 2022 Pro Bowl. Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp is second in the voting. Chiefs tight end, former bachelor type of guy, Travis Kelce. Rip your head off and throw it into stands Miles Garrett.
You ain't kidding.
Cowboy cornerback Trevon Diggs are the five top. Where's Herbert?
You know what? It's early.
You're right.
It's early.
Doesn't even really matter till Christmas.
Nah, I mean, come on. You know how these Pro Bowl things go.
We talked to James Worthy earlier, Matt. I'd say he sounded kind of frustrated. The Lakers are playing right now on Spectrum.
He said he was going to take a circuitous route to the studio so he could try to figure out how he would present the issues that are currently plaguing the 9-10 Lakers as they are in Indianapolis. Right now, the Clips, meanwhile, P, they are off until Friday at 10-8. And, well, bad news for the Kings.
Why, somebody barfed?
Again? No, it's just the same. They've lost four games in a row after having gotten points in eight straight games.
Oh, the L.A. Kings, not the Sacramento.
Oh, yes. No, the Barf Town Kings we will likely not be addressing since the big breaking news yesterday that Luke Walton had been relieved of his duties and the barfing.
Now he can come back to the beach, though.
Ah, come on. That's our six-man team is going to be so good this year.
Geeked. So geeked up.
We're going to be so good.
So we'll be back with more PMS. We will have the college football whip around. Seven games. A lot to step through this week in foosball. So we'll be back with more of that on PMS.
Andrea's down 80 cars. She needed years to save her night routine.
Money on your smart speaker.
Mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes.
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
Atrocin Money, AM 570 LA Sports. Just about a half hour of programming left before we hand it over to Brian Fenley and UCLA Bruin Insider. And we got a doubleheader of UCLA games on Saturday. Back to back.
Double up.
I mean, Tim Cate's going to roll from Bruin talk straight into countdown to kickoff. It is UCLA-UNLV basketball.
Welcome to college basketball, buddy.
Welcome, coach. Some whitey from Minneapolis putting his balls on everybody's head. Welcome. UCLA-UNLV, and then Cate's going to go right into
Holmgren.
Countdown.
I told you about the skinny legs, Holmgren.
That dude was un-freaking real.
He's pretty good.
It was like watching a whitey Giannis take freaking one step from the free throw line, and next thing you know, his junk is in your face.
Lots of length.
Dunking a ball. My God.
Skinny poots, though.
Incredible.
Skinny poots.
No, well.
Come on. You see the marks.
I mean, you want to talk about a real needle D.
You see the marks. It couldn't be anything else.
But UCLA looking to get back on the track of righteousness with a victory over UNLV. These are not your father's UNLV running reps.
Are you asking a question there, Ben?
No, I'm not asking a question. I'm just saying Stacey Augmon ain't walking out that tunnel.
Oh, let's go Muir.
And if he did?
He'd be gray and old.
He sure would.
He's all long. The plastic man is all stretched out like some old waistband on a sweatpants.
Exactly.
He's all flimsy.
It's all bacon collared. Disaster. It is UCLA-UNLV basketball, and that is immediately followed by countdown to kickoff UCLA-Cal at the Rose Bowl at a 7:30 p.m. kick. Sunday, we got Chargers versus Broncos, and tomorrow we got your NFL triple header. Bears-Lions, Raiders-Cowboys, Bills-Saints. Exactly. Of the NFL AM 570 LA Sports.
All right, college ranks. Plenty of intrigue on Thanksgiving weekend, especially in the Pac-12, where four more rivalry games headline the seven-game schedule. While Utah's already locked up the Pac-12 South and knows it, it will be playing Friday, December 3rd.
Utah!
Pac-12 championship in Vegas at Allegiant. We still have three teams alive to represent the Pac-12 North. Heavily favored Oregon.
Heavily.
I'm heavily involved in boxing.
Heavily.
Has the simplest scenario. The Ducks win Saturday over Oregon State, and they win a division. But here's where it gets tricky. If Washington State in the Apple Cup that we're calling beat UW Friday, win the North. If the Beavs beat Oregon Saturday, that's how they get it. So the Beavs need Washington to beat Wazoo Friday.
I'll get behind that.
And then they need to beat the Ducks on Saturday, and they're in it. So it's not, none of these things are beyond the realm of possibility. So let's get it cracking with a college football whip around the Pac-12 thwack. Quack, quack. We'll start with that Apple Cup, Matt. We're on the game, Alex Faust and I, the ornery Alex Faust, at 5 Friday on FS1. Two F and S.
That's
F and skate.
It's near Saskatchewan.
F that. The Cougs have had a strange and unprecedented year. Coach was fired midseason, but here they are at 6-5, and just like I said, they can still win the North Division. And the one tough obstacle for Wazoo's division title hopes, if they beat Washington, it'll be a major blow to Oregon State's motivation to beat Oregon. You could argue that UW has been circling the drain since losing its opener to Montana.
For shame!
But I do like the Huskies to come out Friday with a great attitude in the Apple Cup and knowing they have the opportunity to extinguish Wazoo's division title hopes. Their interim coach, Matt, had a T-shirt on that said, play with joy. So I'm sure that they're going to do what the T-shirt says.
Yeah, I think that's something that I always think about in the sport of football.
Yeah, let's be joyful out
here. Let's be joyful.
Joy to the world. I hit you in the effing face.
To the face.
Thwack, thwack. Fox, 1 p.m. Friday, Rocky Mountain Showdown, Colorado at Utah. Expected some one-way traffic in this one, although give the Buffs credit for recent wins over Oregon State and Washington. The one game Colorado is regretting most is the loss to USC. They would have loved to play that one again. Oregon appears dominant and rolling right now. Overall record is 8-3, and they're not in the national conversation.
They would like to be part of this conversation.
The one head-scratching common opponent between Utah and Colorado is the Oregon State Beavers. The Utes lost to the Beavs on October 23rd, and the Buffs beat the Beavs 2 weeks later on November 6th. The Utes are 24-point favorites against Colorado. I've got the Utes, 34-14. Quack, quack, quack. Does anybody remember that Oregon State beat number 9 Oregon last year, 41-38?
Not much.
Jebbia with the leg pull, didn't get in. Chance Nolan comes in and finishes with a quarterback sneak. Game ruined by the fleshy Dave Fleming and Rod Gilmore. You remember, Matt?
I do remember them ruining the game. I do absolutely remember that.
The Ducks are a 7-point favorite on Saturday at Autzen against the Beavs.
They're going to lose that fancy baseball game. Yeah.
Oregon must win to clinch the North and would play Utah again in the conference championship game. That'll
Utah.
Be tough for both teams. If Oregon loses, then Oregon State or Wazoo advances. And for the record, I really think the Beavers will be motivated for this game if Wazoo loses on Friday. They'll be riled up anyway. But Oregon's defense can frustrate you throughout a game.
I don't need no civil wow, wow.
Well, Matt, you're going to get fined for that.
I am.
You can't say that.
That's why I can't call it anymore. I refuse to not call it that.
I do think Oregon will probably bounce back from the worst game of the year. I usually just pick the Beavs with my heart. Utah really clubbed the Ducks last week in all three phases. The Brenton Covey punt return, a bald 40-year-old, takes it 70 to the house. That's the final straw. And Oregon, they have good culture. They're going to bounce back. Their quarterback, Anthony Brown, bottomed out in the Utah loss. He'll play better in the rivalry game before he could even consider getting revenge on the Utes. The Beavers built a big lead last week, 17-0, and downed those Devils. Watch out, them Devils. 24-10 in Corvallis. That win capped a 6-0 home record for the Beavs, but they're 1-4 only on the road, and they ended up firing their D coordinator. Do you remember where that one road win for the Beavers came this year, Matt?
Was it UCLA?
Coliseum, brother. You're on the right track.
Right city.
They've kicked
well, not
their
really,
ass.
Actually. Not really.
Kick your ass! Sound like John Chaney. They came down and kicked your ass!
Yeah, they did.
Everything considered, I like the Ducks to beat the Beavs 31-21. Thwack!
Yeah, I guess somebody's not going to be making an appearance on Joe Beaver Radio.
They haven't called me this week. The Arizona Wildcats travel to Tempe for the duel in the desert, Matt.
No, we're talking. Watch out, them Devils.
No one is shocked that the Cats are just 1-10. And the one win was a fluke because Cal had their COVID snafu.
Well, we needed to get that 6th and 7th test for each player, even though they had all been negative up to that point.
Just to make sure.
Just to make sure.
The most polite way I can describe this is Zona has serious issues top to bottom. Many of us expected better than 7-4 from the Devils, though.
Watch out, the Devils.
Pac-12 South was wide open this year, and the Devils did not meet the moment. Conservative game plans and commitment to the run. But Jaden Daniels has stepped back this season and like has lost so much confidence that they're scared to throw it with him. Rashad White is an unbelievable player that you'll see in the draft and the combine and all your stuff there, Matt. Their tailback. And not showing up in the second half at Utah, followed by the baffling home loss to Wazoo, ruined the Devils' season. I got my forks up, though, and I'm going with A-State, 37-17. Black!
Okay. All right.
Notre Dame spends every Thanksgiving in California. Even years in L.A. to play USC. Odd years in the Bay Area to play Stanford. The Irish use this California trip to recruit, plus an alumni getaway opportunity. We all know somebody annoying that went to Notre Dame. Am I wrong?
Well, my brother didn't go there, but he pretends like he did.
Yeah, that's even
worse. And that's
worse.
Annoying. And he went to freaking Penn.
It's even worse. Last year's trip to L.A. was canceled by COVID, so you know these fleshy white folks are excited to get out to Stanford. The least compelling part of the trip, the game. Stanford football has fallen to pieces. It's more injuries than youth, but they shouldn't be this uncompetitive. They're not the same team that took the field against USC in their second game or beat Oregon.
How about that?
They finished strong last year with four straight wins. Now they come in on a six-game losing streak, 20-point home dog to the Dame. I didn't see it coming.
What happened?
But now dating back to 2019, David Shaw's program has suffered 2 6-game losing streaks, and it's about to be 7. 41-17 Irish. Black!
If that man weren't coaching at Stanford, you might be concerned about his job security.
Yeah, he's fine. He's got the old Dennis Green deal. The old Ty Willingham. The annual Red Tape Bowl has snuck up on us, Matt. Cal versus UCLA. The finest of the UC system. Instead of thinking of how UCLA can get Kyle Phillips open against the two-deep zone, or Justin Wilcox will stack the line to stop Zach Charbonnet, this one's about associate ADs interrupting practice, or how players had study hall schedules change without telling coaches. It takes 2 months to hire a coach and 3 months to fire one in the UC system. It sucks. Everything is a logistical struggle on the UC campuses. That's why we had to do the full court press, Matt, because of the stupid red tape. Am I wrong?
That's exactly right.
I think Cal has put its COVID tracing nightmare in the rearview and will be ready to give UCLA a physical battle. Chase Garbers might even play his brother at some point in this game. Ethan, he'll need a big game in the air and the ground. DTR's coming off his best game as a Bruin. It's been a long time coming. You think he can do another one at the same high level, Matt?
Not much.
Wait. Who did that?
That was a little quick on the trigger there, Cates. Hey, look, any man who's willing to sign an autograph in the middle of a contest, I think could do it again.
The most interesting Bruin offseason question, is DTR going to use the COVID year and return for a fifth season?
Why wouldn't he? Where else he going?
Can't they run him off?
I mean, I guess they could, right?
Hey, you're ready.
DTR, we did our due diligence, and yeah, turns out you might have a shot at the NFL. I think you should go in.
Look at this. I mean, look at this.
Now, look, they didn't make any promises, but just kind of the tone in which they said things, I think maybe you ought to give it a go.
With both the Garbers brothers out there, there'll be a lot of CDM fans, Telesco types. And I'm taking UCLA 34-23. The Bruins improve to 8-4, and Cal gets ready for USC.
Let's go, Garbers.
But before traveling to Berkeley for the season finale, the Trojans host BYU. SC's a 7-point home dog to BYU. Imagine that. Football fatigue is real at USC. Not many Angelinos will be showing up at 7:30 on a cold night to watch the Trojans struggle.
That's not cool.
There'll be some Mormons there, though, Matt.
They're only given 7.
That's not the original.
Well, it's a home game.
I mean.
But there'll be a lot of blue and white clad BYU fans being loud and proud on Saturday.
It ain't going to feel like a home game.
Sophomore running back Tyler Algier for BYU will be getting a lot of those cheers. 1,300 yards, 18 TDs, 20 pass catches. Play it! Jackson Dart's from Utah. He's going to start. Slovis has been ruled out. He won't start. As a Utah kid, Dart consulted BYU before choosing USC. And the BYU front seven can reintroduce themselves to him.
Make way for BYU. Say hey!
It's BYU.
It's BYU.
Hey, what's today? Is it
all
deadline
right.
day?
USC is lost 4 out of 5, with the only win being that nail biter against bottom feeder Arizona. In September 2019, remember, USC lost to BYU in Provo. And that was a red flag. Any team with half the talent of USC has to challenge them physically and can win. It was a tipping point. The USC finesse air raid at its worst. Since then, we've seen the script play out many times. Now, USC's committed a little bit more to running the ball the last half of the season. But, Matt, that ship has already sunk. So, with USC looking for a new coach and to hire a new staff, considering all the professional and transfer options that you mentioned just the other day, Matt, I'm going to take the rock-solid Kalani Sitake and the BYU Cougs to cruise 45-24 over USC. No tryptophan hangover for BYU. Thwack, thwack, thwack. And that's your whip around.
Just got a direct message on the Instagram from Joe Beaver. He said you're dead to them.
I hate to say that. I hate to say I expect Oregon to win, but I got to go. You know, I pick Oregon State with my heart every week, and I go about 500. And besides the Apple Cup Friday, I'm doing San Jose Fresno game for the Valley Trophy tomorrow night on FS1, or tomorrow at 12:30. Yeah.
So, okay.
Disfruten los juegos, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Enjoy the game. Dead and Alive Guy coming up.
I was in love.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Petros and Money Show.
AMS.
Podcasted at AM570LASports.com.
All right, everybody. A big good night and a giant gracias. Muchas gracias from the Petros and
Buenos
Money
dias.
Show. Have a great Thanksgiving. And now it's time for the last dead guy birthday of the day before Thanksgiving.
Well, part of one of the great bands ever assembled.
We had a band powerful enough to turn goat piss into gasoline.
That's right. You did have a band powerful enough to turn goat piss into gasoline.
I'm calling BS on that.
Your electric bass show of record.
Come on. Bass all week.
I mean, come on.
We had Family
piss
Man.
Gasoline. Let's go.
We had the Family Man earlier in the week with the 41.
We did, yeah.
Kids.
Now we had got Ashton Barrett earlier, the Family Man. We are your disco beard show of record. We are your white guy afro show of record.
Oh, we got goat piss alchemy going on, baby.
Exactly right. Let's go Donald Dunn. Donald Duck Dunn. Booker T and the MG, session bassist for Stax Records, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and part of the greatest musical ever to hit the silver screen, the Blues Brothers. Born in Memphis, Tennessee. Why'd they call him Duck? It's not really a great story. Dad just decided to start calling his son Duck because they used to watch Disney cartoons together. I hope it was Daffy and not Donald that led to his nickname Duck. And his best friend growing up.
Probably Donald.
Sadly. Because, I mean, his name is, after all,
right, yeah.
Donald. Yeah. Steve Cropper, the Colonel, guitarist in Booker T and the MGs. It was Cropper that pulled Dunn in, along with their pal Charlie Freeman, also played the guitar. Dunn figured, you know what, if you guys are playing guitar, I guess I'll play the bass. They found a drummer in high school, Terry Johnson, started a band, the Royal Spades. And they were a big freaking deal at Messick High School. Self-taught, played along with records, filled in with what he thought should be there, which is why he's so recognizable. Not a traditional lesson or teaching. He did it all himself, added the sax. Added help was from that sax player, Chucky Axton, because his mom and her brother, Jim Stewart, owned Satellite Records, and they signed the high school band. They had their first hit last night in 1961 under their new name, the Marquise. M-A-R-K-E-Y-S.
Clever. Not Murph and the Magic Tones?
Not Murph and the Magic Tones. With Dunn smoking the pipe the whole time. Booker T and the MGs was co-founded by Cropper and Booker T. Jones in 62. Dunn would join him in 1965, part of the trifecta of that Stax sound. It was Jackson's drums, it was the Memphis horns, but it was really Dunn's grooves. And they were not just great songs, but his bass lines, particularly in Otis Redding's Respect. Remember, Aretha covered it. This one, I Can't Turn You Loose. Sam and Dave's Hold On, I'm Coming, all-time great. They were seminal. Like, they influenced musicians and the way people play bass. Distinctive. You know them the second they hit. Dunn would play Muddy Waters, Jerry Lee Lewis, Eric Clapton, Rod Stewart. He is the bass player on Stevie Nicks' first single with Tom Petty, Stop Dragging My Heart Around. He played for Clapton during his Live Aid performance, and he played himself in the 1980 film The Blues Brothers. And again, giant white afro, thick disco beard, smoked the pipe the whole time he played. Dunn and the MGs were the house band for Bob Dylan's concert at his 30th anniversary show at Madison Square Garden. So he played behind Dylan, Harrison, Clapton, Petty, Stevie Wonder, Neil Young, and that's when Neil Young recruited him and the MGs to tour with him moving forward. And he did that anytime Neil Young went on tour. Married to his wife June until his death. Two sons, 70 when he died in his sleep, sadly, in his hotel room after doing two shows with Cropper and some other MGs in May of 2012 in Tokyo. Happy would have been 80th. Donald Duck Dunn.
All right, it's time for the Alive Guy. We have a soulful feel today. A favorite and an underground favorite of Vic the Brick Jacobs and my brother's godfather, George Zangas.
Oh, yeah.
Slow Town's own, Lee Michaels. Introduced to me by my brother's godfather, George Zangas, the proprietor of Marathon Nutrition and Powerlifting, on Squat Saturday with my brother Tasso and people like the Sultan of Squat, Kyle Holderman, and Brandon Himmelwright, and George Falaktu. We would listen to this song, Can I Get a Witness, by Lee Michaels, Blue-Eyed Soul, energetic performance on a Hammond organ. That was his style. Here, turn it up a little so Matt can get a vibe for it. We've talked this with Vic before. Now, he was born in L.A., but his roots came in Slow Town with a surf group. And that surf group had the drummer from the Turtles and then Jefferson Airplane all the way on to Starship. In the year 1967, Lee was recognized and signed by A&M Records. And they used him a lot as a session musician. And he famously was on Jimi Hendrix's stuff. That's pretty good. I mean,
heck yeah.
It's not touring with Neil Young every time he goes out.
I don't know. Playing with Hendrix?
Pretty strong.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
They called Lee Michaels the ultimate power organist. He's kind of an underground guy for weirdos until his fifth album, when he got some commercial success in 1971 with the song, Do You Know What I Mean? And everybody knows that one, so I always like to play this one because it's a little different. Kind of like the mandolin rain, you know, man? You know.
Right, exactly. Hey, you zig, we zag.
Then he signed with Columbia, but did not generate much with Columbia, but still loved by music lovers everywhere, nonetheless. And Lee Michaels had to fight to get his rights back from A&M, and he got those. He won those back. But here is where it really jerks the wheel, Matt. Lee Michaels is the proprietor and operator of Killer Shrimp Restaurants.
Come on.
Boasting his spicy shrimp recipe that has buoyed the Killer Shrimp franchise for decades.
Come on.
Catching the attention of local politicians like famous Inglewood mayor James Butts. He has five restaurants, Killer Shrimp restaurants, including the 5,000 square foot monstrosity in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, that thing is insane.
Five in California and Nevada. Lee Michaels, once power organist, now Forrest Gump-like shrimp magnate. Happy Thanksgiving, and be safe out there. And don't forget to podcast the show on AM 570 LA Sports.